Let's pray. Father, what a gift it is to hear your word and learn from it and know that your word is alive, full of power. It's a mystery, Lord, that we don't get to really meditate on when we're distracted. So we pray that our minds will be bound to yours, Jesus, as we learn what you're saying to us today and apply it through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture today is Ephesians chapter 4, beginning on page 1821 in your pew Bible. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he descended or ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. So last week, I talked to you about the central role that the Holy Spirit plays after Jesus goes back to heaven. And I told you that after Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit comes to stay with us, to be inside of us, for the purpose of equipping the church and preparing it to meet Jesus. Church, that's us, each one of us. So we are first saved, then we are made ready to meet our Savior face to face. And that's what the Holy Spirit is in charge of. So you see, my heart breaks when I know, because I have church meetings and pastors' meetings, and I know that this is not a central teaching of many, many, many churches. I'm not going to say most churches, but I'm going to say many churches. That the emphasis on growing is not there. That it's almost like, you know what, I'm saved, it's all good, I'm good, I'm just waiting. That's malpractice of the preaching of the gospel. Because first, we are saved so that we are made ready. We already are accepted, we already are saved, but now we need to be made ready. We need to be prepared to see Jesus face to face. This passage tells us that each of us has been given grace as Jesus appointed it, but it is the Holy Spirit that imparts those gifts to us, that were given to us. So Jesus chooses what they are. He's the head, right? He's the leader. But the Holy Spirit is the one who gives it to us. He comes and gives it to us according. So they work in sync. Even though Jesus is in heaven waiting for us and the Holy Spirit is here. Now, we all know that it's a mystery, that the Trinity is always present. Wherever one is, all three of them are. But nonetheless, this is the time of the Holy Spirit. And it began after Jesus left to go back to heaven. So verse 12 tells us that the purpose of the gifts that we have is to equip God's people for works of service. But it doesn't stop there, and I believe that's where many churches stop. You have a gift, you have a gift, let's serve. You do, and then we have a lot of people who burn out because that's where they stop. But then what about the soul? It says, so that we may reach maturity, fullness of maturity. So we are to serve in a way, in any way that we are equipped to serve. Each of us have received gifts to carry the work that God has called us to do. And believe me, each one of you has at least one gift, one talent to put to work. So are you using your talents for God? It's something we need to be thinking about. Maybe you can't do what so-and-so is doing, what Susie or Peter or whoever is doing, but you can do what God called you to do, because that's what life is about. We must be doing that, serving, using our talents, time, and money, for God is very important. And I believe the Lord is waiting for certain things to happen before Jesus comes back. If we would all be ready, if the work would have been done, if everything that God wants to accomplish on this earth would be done, we wouldn't be here. Why waste time? God is not like that. But we still have things to do, and the Holy Spirit still has things to do in us. We're not there yet. The purpose of the gifts that we get then are that we serve and honor the Lord our God as we continually grow. That's where churches fail, many churches. It's about serving and emphasizing the growing as we continually grow and mature. The Lord won't come until the church is ready, and the Lord won't come until the church has reached the fullness of maturity. That's really important. That puts a responsibility on us, doesn't it? It's not just about being hearers of the word, but it becomes about being doers of the word of God. And that's why a lot of people go to those other churches, because they don't ask him to do as much as really we are called to do. Serving can be easy, but growing is more personal. It involves a personal commitment to be raw, honest, and to recognize that we're not there yet. And that's discouraging at times. But God wants maturity in him and unity with one another. That's a big part of the work that God wants to accomplish. Hear me out. God wants maturity, spiritual maturity, and unity with one another. Do you remember Paul frustrated? I'm going to put a little spot here for I don't lose my train of thought. Something came to me. Now, do you remember Paul speaking in one of his letters saying, I couldn't even preach to you as mature people. I had to give you milk because you're so immature spiritually. That's not the case in this church. You guys really do absorb, and I believe that you are growing spiritually at the same time that I'm growing spiritually. So Paul was very aware that among his congregation, some people weren't growing. That's the responsibility of the leader, the pastor, to spur people on to maturity and fullness. So God wants maturity in him and unity with one another. Let's see what this passage tells us about how important that is. Verse 3 tells us, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Did you hear that? Make every effort, not just give it a good shot. Try it. It's not like that. The emphasis is big. Make every effort to do what? To keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace with who? Not with God, because we already have peace with God through the death of Jesus, right? So this is with one another. That's part of the growing, because it's hard to have unity with people that we may not agree with, or with people that we may think, well, why do they do things that way? And we're critical, and we're, you know, why is it that this person doesn't do things this way? Or why is it that person doesn't give more of this? Or why? There's a lot that comes against this call to promote, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace with one another. So it's not with God that we need to make that effort, because Jesus did that already. We do have peace with God. The Bible tells us that clearly in many parts. We have peace with God through the death of Jesus. But this is with one another. That's who we are called to keep the bond of peace with. We are part of the same body, even though some may be prickly, slippery, stinky, not look so good or not speak so good, whatever it may be. We are called to keep the bond of peace. We are part of the same body, and we cannot divide the body of Christ. Wherever there is an effort to divide the body of Christ, there's works of Satan right there. And in order to keep that bond, in order to not divide, in order to promote unity, that passage is telling us how to do that, how to contribute to that. In order to do that, we must put off what? The old self. That's what verses 22 through 25 is saying. Listen to it again. You don't need to look it up. I'll just read it to you. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted. Listen to that. It's not just corrupted. It's being corrupted. By who? Who is it that's corrupting our old self? I don't care, because that self is going to stay here. But I do need to not allow that old self to take over my life, but to allow the Spirit of God to take over my life. So it says, let me go back again. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by what? By its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on what? The new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And after you put off the old self, this is what we ought to do. Verses 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will, here's the word, grow to become in every respect the, here's the other word, mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows, again, the word grows, and builds itself up in what? In love. As each part does its work. As each part does its work. So what God wants to see in his church is a group of people who is determined to love God so much that they seek to grow and mature. A group of people who is determined to keep the unity of the body of Christ by loving your sister, your brother, by loving each other and promoting unity and peace. And the passage tells us how to do that. By putting off the old self, which is the one that will promote disunity and lukewarmness towards God, put on the new one that is determined, that will allow us to be determined to keep the unity of the body of Christ by loving each other and promoting unity and peace. How many times are we to forgive our brother or sister? Many, many, many times. And how long do we need to do this? To be a group of people who are determined to love God so much that they seek to grow and mature. Group of people who are determined to keep the unity of the body of Christ by loving one another. How long do we need to do this for? You know the answer. Until Christ comes back. Until when? Until we reach that, verse 13. I'm speaking to you scripture. 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God. What is that if it's not growth? Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Mature. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That convicts me. And I hope it convicts you, because I wonder if we were giving a growth chart, if we were giving it an evaluation by the angels, if they would look at us and say, let's see you've grown this much. Remember we used to do that with our kids? Have a little measuring stick in the house, and they love to see how much they have grown. We need one of those spiritually. How much have you grown in the last year? That's convicting, isn't it? We need to continually seek to grow. We need to continually seek to learn something new about God. Because the Bible says He renews His mercies every morning. There's something new. This is a passage that I have preached from many times. I still discovered new things today as I prepared it. So we need to ask God to remind us what God expects us to mature, how much He expects us to mature, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, if we would have a measuring stick, an evaluation of how much we've grown in love for You and for one another, where would we stand? Although we are saved by grace, we don't want to use our status of being saved to become lazy and complacent in our salvation. We want to grow. I want to make You proud, God. I want to grow. Every day. Tell God that you want to become more like Him and use the tools He's given you to do that. You know what they are. Dear God, remind us that You expect us to invest our time, efforts, energies, money, and talents in serving You. But not just serving You, but loving You, growing in our faith, and growing in our love for one another until we all reach the fullness of unity and maturity. This we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.